I'm Kat.
And I'm Joy.
And today we have a very motivating individual here to share a moment of himself, a man that seems a bit different than the man that we've been listening to in the past few years. That man would be Mr. Maxwell Ingen. Max is the man behind the website, thecurlhouse.com, a very insightful, informative site. Max Ingen is a researcher, philosopher, free thinker, and an advocate for truth. He's a musician, artist, and after all that, he still has the energy to be a radio talk show host.
Well, thanks very much for asking me on the show.
So recently, Max has been help raising awareness in James Price Point. I've watched a couple of your videos that you've done where there are plans to build the second biggest gas hub, I believe, in the world, that is. Is that, Max?
Yeah, at James Price Point, very, very important issue. And we've been addressing the hub because, I mean, it's an important part of the infrastructure for all this whole coal seam gas thing that's going on across the country. And it's a very, very significant area as well. I mean, we've got a lot of endangered species in the area. We've got dinosaur footprints in the reef. We've got whale breeding grounds just off the coast. And it's absolutely pristine. It's one of the last untouched places on Earth, really. It's such an incredible place, the Kimberley Coast, and so the Western Australian government is putting this gas hub in. But the fracking and the coal seam gas mining, it's happening everywhere right across the country, and it isn't just coal seam gas mining, it's all sorts of mining. They've just sold most of our food bowl to Chinese companies who intend to mine it. They intend to put 30 open-cut mines in a place called the Darling Downs, which is some of the most fertile farmland on Earth, and all of this is just being put under the hammer by our governments in order to try to pay off their bill to the bank, basically. And it's pretty scary. So that's the sort of things that I've been trying to address.
Right. Well, I know that Kat has been doing some research, so I'm going to hand it over to her. I do believe she did want to bring up fracking, so we would love to hear it, Max. Go ahead, Kat.
This fracking is getting out of hand, Max, don't you think? And they're getting a little bit sneaky about it. During the New Zealand rugby games, they were even granting drilling permits by the stackfuls down there. Here in the U.S., there's major fracking going on in the Midwest, especially along the Madrid Fault. And some of the instances that they're finding is that they're even raising the water tables to be more effective with some of the tetra and microwaves that they're trying to bombard a lot of people with. Along with that, I know they're doing a lot of fracking going on in Australia. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I think fracking is insidious in so many ways. It's bringing a lot of salt to the surface is something they don't tell you about as well. So it salinates the ground wherever you put these wells in. And this basically kills the soil so it can never recover. I mean, it can never be used for farming again. Anywhere where they put one of these wells will never, ever be used to grow food again. You might be able to grow biofuel there, but you won't be able to grow food. So what this is all related to is, I mean, one of the main objectives of fracking is to destroy the groundwater and to pollute the groundwater and to do what they're doing. So this forces people into concentrated cities. It forces people into these areas like Agenda 21. See, a lot of people have got these alternate communities they set up and, okay, I'm going to go and build my self-sufficient community in the hills. We've got all our own food where we're totally set up so that we're on our own and we can survive the coming crisis. But they don't think, well, what are they going to do when they've got no groundwater? When the soil is polluted and the groundwater is polluted, they'll have no other choice but to move to where there's food. And the only place you'll find food will be GM food, and you'll find it in cities, and that's where you'll also find recycled water. Because that's all we're going to have left to eat and drink, the way it's going. That's what they're heading towards.
Why do you think they're trying to why are they tapping into all of our resources, Max? I mean, they're trying to get us off the planet as it is. I just don't understand. In the fracking, it's almost they're discovering that it's also destabilizing some of the crusting and creating some earthquakes.
Well, it is. I mean, it's absolutely insidious in so many ways. I mean, really, when you look around the planet, the whole place is being mined and strip mined in order to support this economy, this economic system, which is based on permanent growth. And you can't have permanent growth on a planet with finite resources, especially if you've got a currency that's based on interest-bearing debt. I mean, it's just absolutely impossible. And then you see things like Agenda 21. They say they want to concentrate people in these small pockets of humanity in order to create a sustainable future for us, but they don't tell you what they mean by sustainable. They mean that they want to sustain the mining, and they want to sustain the way things are. They want to be able to tell us that we have to move away from nature in order to allow nature to be more important than people. And this is what the whole green movement's about. I mean, you might be somebody who really cares about nature and really wants to keep things pristine, and that's a good thing. But the government co-opts these movements, and they start things like the green movement, which is designed to make people less important than nature. And I'll tell you, you need to go and be in this controlled environment so that they can make nature sustainable. But what they want to sustain within nature is mining. And they want to do that while you're not looking. So they want you in these centers. Then they'll tell you, well, we need to go and pull these resources out of here just to support this city center that we've got and to support this infrastructure. But people never look around at what's going on. They never look at it back on a global scale, and they find that everywhere apart from the city centers are being strip mined. It's the whole lot of it is just being completely degraded. And that's what their sustainable future is. It's the sustaining of this mining system. And then you see things like the Zeitgeist movement, and you get a lot of people who really want to protect the resources that we've got on this planet and really want to help, you know, and do the right thing, because obviously we can't go the way we are. But what's the Venus Project look like? It looks like a bunch of cities, very, very controlled cities run by machines that are in concentrated pockets of humanity, and a resource-based economy. So why do we need a resource-based economy? Only if we're pulling lots and lots of resources out of the planet. And we don't need most of the resources that we pull out of the planet. It's an insidious plan, but you can see how it all ties together. And the planet is basically being strip mined to support a system. And the system has been apparently created by mankind to service mankind's needs. And yet mankind is the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system. The system is mainly functioning for the support of the system itself, for the economic model that the system has provided. And it's supporting this economic model at the expense of all life upon this planet. So we really need to seriously wake up and look at what our economic structure is, and look what our throwaway societies are doing to everything, to all life on the planet, because we're going to end up looking like Mars at this rate.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too, Max. I couldn't agree more. And this is something that's going on worldwide. You know, it's not, you know, that's why I think it's so important for us to connect, you know, especially across the continents, and really, you know, acknowledge the fact that this is going on all over the world right now. So we all need to wake up, and we all need to, what do you suggest as far as taking a stand? I know you've been doing some work with that at James Price Point. What did you do there exactly?
Well, it was mainly roadblocks and the blockade. They've been holding up the gas hub being built there for a long time now. It's actually 2 years behind schedule, the gas hub. Thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of lost time. And so that's been really good, just holding it up. But, I mean, all these people can do on the ground there is hold things up for as long as they can in the hope that the rest of humanity wakes up. Because it's when the rest of humanity wakes up and stands up, we can deal with this. What I've been attempting to share with people is that the people that are doing this are public trustees. They're our employees. We actually employ politicians to create a viable future for us. But they're not doing so. They've sold us out to corporate interests. And what the New World Order is, what's being built, is not a global government or anything like that. It's a global corporation. That's what's being built. And it's got CEOs, and humanity is the most expendable thing within the parameters of this corporation. Now, this is being done by people, and it's all fiction. All of these laws, there's law and there's legislation. I've been going through this a lot lately, talking about trust law with people. There's law and there's legislation, and what's happening is that these fracking companies and mining companies are coming onto people's land, and they're trashing the planet, and the people have no legal recourse. They have no legal way of dealing with it, because everything these companies are doing seems to be legal. But they don't understand that these, it's just legislation that's been written on pieces of paper by politicians who are owned by these companies. I mean, our governments, really, our governments in all of our countries, in Australia and New Zealand and America and most countries around the place, these are simply CEOs for mining companies. That's all they are. It's like our governments are just the mediators for the mining companies, you know, between the mining companies and the people. That's all they're doing. They've sold us out completely. And it's all fiction. It's all non-existent contract law, which doesn't apply to any of us. We are man. We are mankind. We have dominion over the earth, and we created society, and society created government. So we have the ability to change everything by simply realizing who and what we are, and realizing that what these people are doing, it's the equivalent of me getting a piece of paper and writing on that piece of paper that I can come to your house and I can exploit everything in your house and watch your television and eat your food and dig up your garden, and I can get two or three other people in the room here with me to sign it and approve it, so we can all come to your house and do this. And if you don't like it, then I'm going to get your neighbours to put on a uniform and come and grab you and put you in a cage because you disagree with me. That's all legislation is. And it's been designed to remove actual law from the planet and impose the will of individuals in its place. But we have to remember that these individuals actually work for us. We employ them, and we grant to them our share of the commonwealth of our countries, and we allow these people to manage the countries for us, as with us as the beneficiaries. And they're all in breach of trust. They've sold us out. They're stealing all of our resources, all the gas in the ground. I own that. The government doesn't own it. I own it, and the other members of my country own it. It's ours. It's part of the commonwealth. And the wealth of it is the fact that it's there in the ground. We don't want it above the ground. And these people write rules on pieces of paper that they believe gives them the ability to take everything they can from us and sell it to overseas interests in order to support this economy. And the economy is privately run, it's based on interest-bearing debt, and it's designed to strip all the resources out of your country and transfer it into the hands of those who issue the currency. That's what the economy is designed to do. So even allowing this type of economy to be in place is a breach of trust. And we need to realize who and what we are and connect with our neighbors, build strong communities, and realize what's happening here, because that is the sole cause of every problem that this civilization, this society, all these Western so-called democratic societies, this is the one problem that they all face, is that we have forgotten that our governments are simply public trustees that are supposed to be acting on our behalf with us as the beneficiaries. They're not doing so, and they're getting away with it because we don't realize this trust agreement exists, and we are in fear of standing up and being who and what we are, because there's these guys in blue uniforms with tasers that prevent us from doing so.
Max, you've been talking about this trust law and the difference between legal versus lawful. Where do the listeners start to get the information for this? I mean, this information, we as a human race have to get back to some human law here. The governance of the world is not in the people's best interest at all. And I do believe this information needs to get out there to the people. Can you clarify any more on that for us?
Well, like a lot of it is in your heart. I've been trying to teach trust law to people, but ultimately it's common sense and it's in your heart. I've gone down so many rabbit holes. I've looked through all the Freeman stuff and all the constitutional law stuff, and then you start getting into the equity and the difference between statute equity and special equity and all this sort of stuff. But then you get right up to the end of it and you get to preeminent trust, the preeminent trust that you have with the Creator. And once you really start to understand what this is, you look at everything below it and you go, well, hang on, all of this is fiction. Why do I need to fill out a form or go down some legal avenue to establish my sovereignty? That's their rules. If I believe I need to fill out a form to prove who and what I am, to prove that I'm free, then how free am I? I'm already free. Prove to me that I'm not free. What hold do you have over me? You base your entire legal system on the laws of God, or so you say. Well, in your own Bible, it says that God created man and gave man dominion over the earth. My name is man. Everything below that is fiction. And even when you look at their legal system, it all comes down to, like, Matthew 22. You look at Matthew 22 in the Bible, because all law is ecclesiastical. All man-made law. It's all contract law. It's all fiction. It's all made up by people. That's where the whole system came from, folks. Everything that we know as the legal system, that's where it came from. We made the whole thing up. Someone just made it up. They wrote all these laws down, all these so-called laws, on pieces of paper, and they said, you guys have all got to do this. And if you don't, we've got these guys in uniforms here who are going to come and put you in a cage. That's basically what our legal system is. And it's all contract law. And these guys, you know, the police, they come and threaten you with violence. They threaten to lock you up. They threaten to take away your liberty. And all this is terrorism. If you look up terrorism, it says violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. That's the Oxford Dictionary definition of terrorism. So you got these police officers that use terrorism to enforce non-existent contracts against people. That's all legislation is, the whole system. People just need to wake up to the fact that that's what it is. The ones who are doing it are just people. That's all they are. And like I said, it's all based on ecclesiastic law. Well, that, you know, it goes back to Matthew, the definition of law in the Bible, their Bible that they use for their law, the definition of law is Matthew 22. And Matthew 22:36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it, and that is love thy neighbor as thyself. And that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, so the entire legal system, their entire legal system, their ecclesiastical legal system that is based on the laws of God is based on those two laws. Love thy Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that's what I'm doing in my life. That's what I'm doing. If you're claiming that I have to obey one of your statutes, which causes me to deviate from one of those two commandments, you're claiming you're a higher authority than God, and I need to see proof of claim. And apart from that, I have this birth certificate here, which shows me as the grantor, or my parents as the grantor, me as the beneficiary, and you, the government, as public trustees. And it shows a legal person at the top of my birth certificate, the name Max Egan, which isn't me. I'm not the name. I'm man. I have a name. I have a name that I can use to interact in your world. And because I have this birth certificate, it shows that I am the sole shareholder and own all the equity in that name. So therefore, it is up to me to appoint which administrator I want for that name. And of course, I'm appointing myself, the man. I'm not here to represent myself. I am myself. I have all the equity. I own all the equity in that name. If you are claiming you have administration rights over this name in your corporate contract law, in your whatever you call your law, any of your legislation, then please show me proof of claim so we can move forward in this matter. Because if there's no injured party, if I've simply crossed one of your lines or stopped someone coming onto my property and digging holes in my ground and stealing the gas and killing the earth on my earth that I live, that I'm the custodian of, and you believe your little statute has the ability to stop me from doing so, then I need to see the administration rights you have for this legal person. I need proof of claim of those rights, and I need proof of claim that you are a higher authority than God, because God said that I shall love thy Lord God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and the earth is part of God, and I am here as custodian of the earth. So if you're claiming you're a higher authority than God, I need proof of claim. I need proof of claim of all these things, and besides that, is this not a court of law? You know, I'd like to know what law I've broken. And if you're going to name one of your statutes as a law, then you've committed fraud on the bench and you're an idiot and need to step down. We'll get a real judge out here who knows what the law is. See, this is what it is. I mean, you've just got to understand how this works. It's almost impossible to teach someone trust law. I have so many people come and ask me, well, what is the template? How can I get this document into the government which is going to make me free? And I think, well, you know, I can show you how to do that. You can write this little letter there to the Governor General, and you can ask him, or the Attorney General, you can ask him all this stuff. You can do it with affidavits. You might get a little piece of paper back, and you'll find that they didn't answer and blah, blah, blah. And if you've got this, maybe you'll realize that you're free. But if you don't know it in your heart, don't even bother. I mean, I don't even need to send the forms in because I know who and what I am. And I can, I'm prepared to take on any judge, any court system, any politician. Prove to me that everything that I just said is not 100% true. And show me that you have any jurisdiction over me and that you have any right to rape this planet. Show me. Show me proof of claim. And if you can't show me proof of claim, then show cause why you should not be held in breach of trust and removed from office and held accountable for your actions.
And, you know, Max, that leads me right into the whole Occupy movement, because I don't think people in general, they're in varying stages of figuring out that something's really wrong, you know, going on. And I think that's part of the problem with the Occupy movement personally. But what are your feelings about it? You know, I just think that it really helps if you know what you're protesting. You know, if you really know the facts about how your government is run, you know, and then go out there and protest and offer some type of solution. I don't know. That's my personal feeling. How do you feel about it?
Look, I think it's great that people are showing solidarity and they're out there and they wish to do something. But, yeah, like you say, they don't know what it is that they wish to do. That's the problem. They've got no direction. And they know the money system's corrupt and they want a separation of state and corporate power. They know they want to be free. They know that they want to live their life without fear. I've spoken to a lot of them in Occupy Brisbane, actually, and they were all very much in their heart, and a lot of them knew who they were within themselves, but they don't really know what it is that they're fighting against. You know, they just know it's corporate and it's the money system and all this sort of stuff. But I tried to share the whole trust arrangement with them and get them to understand what's really going on here is a breach of trust. And that we have an incredible amount of power once we simply realize who and what we are. And everything that I was saying before, I mean, how do you write that down? How do you do that on a form? How do you explain to someone that they're free if they don't already know that they're free and realize that they're free? And that's the only reason I've even been presenting trust law to people or even suggesting that they send these letters into the Attorney General is to maybe, you know, if they get a piece of paper which tells them they're free, maybe they'll feel free. Because they are. We are all absolutely free to do what we wish to do as long as we do no harm. You know, do no harm to any other living thing. Improve reality by your presence in it. What's so hard about that? There's nothing hard about it. But if you're asking me to profit from someone or to start some corporation that's going to allow the world to be raped and I'll be get off scot-free because it was all within the corporate guidelines and all this sort of stuff, and I'm separate from the corporation. I mean, I won't do any of that. All corporations are for is to so the people won't be accountable for whatever the corporation does. They're just little organizations that sociopaths need to operate within the business world. That's all a corporation is, really, when it comes down to it. And unless it's a cooperative that's been designed to do something, you know, like back in the old days, we'd form a corporation because we wanted to build a bridge over a river, and then the bridge would get built, then the corporation would be dissolved, and that was the way corporations worked back in those days. But now they've become these like cancerous entities that just kind of take over everything and get bigger and bigger and bigger until the whole world is one big corporation. And that's where we're heading, and we're doing it to support this economic system. And it's not going to change until people realize they're free. So that's what I've been trying to bring to people. But it's in your heart. It's absolutely in your heart. You have to know who and what you are and realize that all the people that are doing this are just people, just like you. There's no difference. And they've tricked people into believing legislation is law, but it's not. Real law is God's law, and that's the law they base their legal system on. And that's whatever you perceive God to be. Now, the law of the Creator, the basic law of do no harm and serve creation by your presence in it. And that's all those two commandments are. Because if you respect your Creator, whatever you perceive that to be, then you're going to look after the place and you're going to look after the people around you. And if you understand what reality is and you realize that we are all in this together, then why wouldn't you love your neighbors? You know, the only reason we're divided from our neighbors is because of this system, which is all fear-based. We believe we have to step over our neighbors to try to attain a higher rung on the social ladder. It's complete fiction. We need to just wake up to who and what we are. That's the key to the whole thing. And it's simple, but it's really difficult to get people to step outside of the box and adjust their mindset. But you know, you tell people this, and it's so ridiculously obvious to them once they step back and look at it that many people are waking up to how it works.
It's amazing how many people are waking up, and that's why I think with the Occupy movement, personally, I just think that's what that is a group of people that are in varying stages of awakening. There's a lot to learn. You know, you can't blame them. But that was my opinion on it. I went and visited personally Occupy Denver a couple of times, and the first time just to kind of feel things out and really, you know, and see it for myself. And the second time was to pass out chemtrail awareness information, you know, and I was amazed at, you know, the receptiveness of the people that actually took the information. It was a good opportunity to spread some of that information, but I think it can be used wisely, you know, personally, if people choose to do so.
Well, it can, as long as they don't allow themselves to be co-opted. I mean, there's so many people trying to get their little isms in there at the moment. I mean, you know, the socialism and feminism and whatever ism they can put in there. As I've often said to people, I only really respect free ism. That's about the only ism that I'm into. And it's good to see the people standing in solidarity, but they need to keep a firm grip on things. They need to keep firmly in their sights what the real problem is and what the real solutions are. And that's why I went up and addressed Occupy Brisbane. Unfortunately, it was a very small crowd there because it's Occupy Brisbane, and Brisbane is not a very motivated city. But at least I got to speak to them, and I've done a few talks about it on different stations recently as well, so perhaps I'll get to hear a little bit of it. But, you know, it has great potential. It really does have great potential. But people do really, really need to retain their focus and realize what the real problem is. And the real problem is the breach of trust that's existing between ourselves and our government. There's no reason we really need government at all. All we need is for people to understand who and what they are and start seeing each other as valid and get rid of this ridiculous money system, which is designed to keep people in a state of shortage, which is why there's crime. And crime, most crime, 90% of crime exists because of shortage, because people are in a state of scarcity, and it's manufactured scarcity. The only other crimes would be like crimes of passion, and this is because people are disconnected from reality because they're kept so in fear and in scarcity all the time. So it all comes back, you know. If we took the interest off money, introduced an honest system of trade, mathematically perfected economy, something like that, we could gradually phase it out over a few generations. We wouldn't even need money anymore. You know, within two or three generations, we could turn the entire planet completely around in a completely other direction. You know, it'd only take two generations to completely re-educate people, or at least to educate people rather than indoctrinate them, because they don't have education at the moment. All they have is indoctrination into this system, and that's something we need to address as well.
Right. And you know what? I would really like to talk about that in a little more depth, Max, but we really do need to break for a station ID real quick. But let's talk some more about that when we come back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomsubs.com. We are awake. We will not be deterred. We shall find the truth. Politics, New World Order, weather control, the systematic destruction of humanity is in progress, and we are preparing to stand tall, and we attempt to awake others. Please note, we are listener-supported, so click a banner, make a donation. I do not have sponsors or commercials to support my efforts. Now, stand by. You are being connected.
Hey, welcome back, Max.
Nice to be here.
All right. So before we went to break, we were talking about the whole money system and everything else that people are kind of holding on to right now. So let's get a little bit more into that, because, you know, I do realize that people are in varying stages of awareness as far as all of this goes. And, you know, I know what it's like to have to find all of that out. So let's help them out a little bit.
Well, I mean, the money system is completely corrupt, and it is going to crash soon, folks. There is no way that it's not going to crash. We've kind of been lucky here in Australia at the moment. We've kind of survived the crash up till now. but that's probably not going to last too much longer. Very interestingly, Julia Gillard just the other day, about two or three days ago, because the Australian economy is so buoyant, that it would be a good idea for them to throw all their money at Greece and bail Greece out. Because they were going to, they've gone through the whole thing in Greece at the moment. They're going to have the referendum and the IMF was going to sort of hang them out to dry if they did that. And so Australia has jumped up and said, we'll bail you out. So this gets the European economy, dependent upon the Australian economy. And this is going to be very interesting. So I think the Australian economy will probably go belly up sometime late next year. And that's going to affect everything because of carbon tax, because carbon tax has been introduced here. Actually, look, I went to see a man, Ian Crane, last night, and he was talking a lot about this as well, and he brought a couple of something very interesting that he made me aware of is that the whole lease on the Federal Reserve runs out on December 21st, 2012. And that's
interesting.
Quite remarkable. When you think about it,
quite.
The whole thing went through on December 22nd, 1913. We all know that. But we don't ever consider that the building's got a 99-year lease. And so 99 years, well, that's December 21st, 2012. That's 99 years from the date of the signing. So that's probably when the system will crash. And if they can maneuver Europe to being, you know, dependent upon Australia in some way, and Australia and New Zealand have got all this carbon tax in, which is dead in the water everywhere else. They can't get carbon tax in America. They can't get it in England. They can't get it in Europe. All the climate gate emails. I mean, the whole man-made climate change scam has been exposed as a complete rubbish, complete hoax,
right.
Complete fabrication. And the people in the Northern Hemisphere know it. But in Australia, they're still being fed our gauze rubbish, and they're buying it for the most part.
Most
people are buying into it in Australia and New Zealand. And, you know, mainstream. And you can talk to people on the street. There's people out there doing lectures tonight or tomorrow night in a nearby town saying how we need to do all this stuff because of global warming, and they're promoting Al Gore and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, carbon tax is a real issue, and carbon tax will be, you know, carbon trading will be the new dollar. This will be the new form of trade, the way the petrodollar was. And they brought, you know, petrol up to the forefront and made oil basically a global currency. And they're going to do it with carbon tax and cap and trade. But because they haven't been able to get it in the Northern Hemisphere, they've got it in the Southern Hemisphere, and now they're attempting to make the Northern Hemisphere dependent upon the Southern Hemisphere. You see what I'm saying?
Mm,
but this is how
this
is how they're going to sneak it into the Northern Hemisphere, this whole carbon tax and cap and trade. You watch. After 2012, they'll be trying to bring this in. They'll bring the system down around about probably December 21st, 2012. And they'll end the Federal Reserve system because that's when it runs out anyway. And they'll introduce a new system that'll be based on carbon tax and cap and trade.
It's all real handy, isn't it?
Oh, very, very. When you see how it's all been put together. And the clincher was Julia Gillard announcing her desire to bail out Europe or to bail out Greece, because the Australian economy is so buoyant. So this economy has been propped up for a reason. See, this is all theatre. They've got to have this here. They've got to have this stable economy here so that when someone does decide to default the way Greece just did, Julia Gillard can jump in and come to the rescue, and everyone can pat her on the back and tell what a great upstanding world leader she is, the way Obama said gave her a little bit of a hug and said how wonderful she was for doing this. All the European leaders are going, oh, look, what a great person. See, this is the way the world needs to come together. We can all help each other, you know. And, you know, it's incredible how it's all been done, but it's such theatre. But you can see where it's all going, and that's how they're going to introduce carbon trade to the Northern Hemisphere for sure.
Mm.
Probably got a little bit off topic with that, but...
No, actually, you know, I'm really glad that you brought all of that stuff up. Like I said, you know, people are in varying degrees, and some people know about some of the stuff and others don't. And you're right, we're having a real hard time with the whole carbon tax here in the United States. I can tell you that for sure. We're having a hard time swallowing that one. But you know, I feel badly that you guys have to deal with it. And, you know, I think, once again, I'm going to repeat myself here, but I think that's why it's so important for all of us to keep in communication, because it's not just happening in one place. It's happening globally right now to all of us.
Yeah, well, they set it up so it has to happen globally. I mean, if it doesn't work in one place, they do it somewhere else, and then they find a way of extrapolating that out. They do it every single time, but that's why they've kept it, you know, very, very controlled down here in Australia. Australia is very, very controlled. The media here, people just have no clue what's going on around the world. They have absolutely none. All they've got is what the television tells them. Unless they're online and they're going to alternative news sources and listening to shows like this one, they're not finding out what's going on around the place. So it's very, very controlled. So it's easy to convince them that the climate change is real, because, you know, they've been actually showing Al Gore's film in schools here. I mean, it's wow. Ridiculous. The kids grow up believing this is they learn it in school. This is what's going on. So it must be true, you know.
Max, you know, I have, for the people that are aware of a lot of the stuff that's going on, and some of us have been researching a lot of this stuff for years, you know, I have a friend in particular that I was talking to tonight, and, you know, sometimes it's really easy to start feeling down and overwhelmed with the level of information that's available right now. And when you come to terms with pretty much, you know, everything that you thought was real is not, it's all pretty much an illusion. So what do you say to those people on these down times? What can they do to, you know, give themselves a little boost? Maybe, you know, it's a lot of doom and gloom sometimes dealing with some of this stuff.
Well, you know, I see it all as opportunity. It really is. I mean, if it wasn't having a positive effect, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation. We wouldn't be on the air now. And everything that I've outlined earlier in the show about trust law and knowing who and what you are, I mean, this is an incredibly empowering way of looking at things. And when you begin to understand this and you start explaining it to other people from the correct energetic state, don't do it from fear. I mean, just talk to people about it. Because everything I explained to you before was basically just common sense, if you look at it. I mean, it was just common sense. That's why it resonates so much with people, because it's just common sense. Everything I say on the radio show, people say to me, wow, it's I've never heard it put like that, and it really resonates with me, and I feel like I already knew this. And it's like, well, yeah, you did, because it's just common sense. You're just taught not to know it. So when you really begin to understand what's going on here and see how it all works, you become very empowered. And I don't have any fear of any of it. I think that it's all necessary in order to wake humanity up. You know, if it wasn't getting so negative, things would not be getting so positive. The consciousness would not be raising the way it is. And sure, there might be some people who don't make it through the meat grinder, and that's very, very unfortunate, but that's just the way it will have to be, because, I mean, that's just the way it works. Everything is balanced. Everything has an equal and opposite. And when you understand what reality is anyway, you realize that there is no death. This is all just experience. And when I die, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I'll take from this reality the experience that I had, and I'll add that to creation. I'll add that to the creative consciousness of the universe. And, you know, I'll come back and do it again. The frequency that is me will always exist. It will always absolutely exist. And it's like Bill Hicks said, you know, life is just a dream. There is no death. And we're the imagination of ourselves. It's very much like that. So there's absolutely nothing to fear, because all of this negative stuff is what is generating this huge positive awareness and this huge evolution and expansion of consciousness and this expansion of awareness that's happening in humankind right now.
Max, you've spent much of your personal self on this journey, keeping many empowered, including myself. You even have that voice that keeps us ever a bit more calm. And lately you've been taking a bit of a different approach to what's going on in the world around us. You mentioned something recently about walking the talk. What's motivated Max Egan into this sense of overdrive? Almost like you're in this urgency. What's different now, Max?
Well, it's just seeing the damage that's being done to the planet. I mean, a big part of it is fracking, the coal seam gas mining. See, what this is doing to the water table is destroying all life. I mean, that's its only real purpose. It'll force people into cities, and it will force them into a situation of complete control if we allow it to happen. I see it as a huge opportunity, and I can't sit back and be quiet any longer. I mean, I haven't been quiet, but I can't just talk on the radio. I have to go out and do it publicly because I'm being given the opportunity to do so. You know, the opportunity is the fact that they're destroying the water table in my country. If I'm going to sit back and allow this to happen and just talk to people about, oh, gee, they're destroying the water table, well, then I feel that I'm probably part of the problem. I need to be going out there and stopping them from destroying the water table because it's my water table. It's your water table. It belongs to the people of the country. It doesn't belong to the government, and they never asked our permission to destroy our water. They're going to do it unless we stop it, and that includes me. So I need to go out and actually walk my talk. And if they claim that they have jurisdiction to destroy the water table, then it's, as I said in the previous section, with the trust law, show me proof of claim. Because according to my understanding of reality, I'm here to love thy Lord with all my mind, body, and soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And this includes the earth. I'm here to serve creation. I'm here as the custodian of the planet, like every other person on the planet, and like yourself. And if you believe you have the right to destroy the planet, then you need to show me proof of claim. I'd like everybody to think that way. I'd like everyone to understand that it isn't up to you to prove what rights you have to the government. It's up to the government to prove what rights you don't have. Because if they're claiming there's something that I cannot do and that I am not able to protect my planet, then they need to show me proof of claim. And otherwise, they need to show cause why they should not be held in breach of trust and why it should not be seen that they are doing exactly what they are doing, which is tantamount to slavery, indentured servitude, telling me that I have to do what they say or they will put me in a cage. I have to let them destroy the planet that I live on and condemn my son to a life of living in a controlled environment, drinking recycled water because we've raped the planet because of my inaction. If they're telling me I have to do that, I need to see proof of claim. And that's the way we have to do it. And it's important because if they destroy the groundwater, then that's it. That it's all over. It's game, set, and match. And when you really start thinking about things, I mean, I've done a lot of talks where I've spoken about the new things we're discovering about water, how water has memory. Water reacts in different ways from different places when different people come in contact with it. It seems to encode everything it experiences within the water. This has been found through structured water, and it's been found through water clusters that they're finding. They're finding these clusters form in incredible ways, and they all contain information. And what you find is that water is literally the RAM drive of this planet. It contains all memory of everything that ever happened on this planet because all the water is connected. So what they're doing with the fracking as well is they're destroying the RAM of the computer that is the Earth. They're destroying the active memory of life on the Earth by destroying the water table. So it's incredibly insidious what's going on here. But it's being done very, very methodically and very, very purposely. And it's driving people into the cities. And it doesn't matter. You've got nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, nowhere to escape from this. If we allow them to destroy the water by simply sitting back and talking about it rather than stepping out and doing something about it, then it's game, set, and match. It's all over. And so that's why the new approach, that's why I've sort of stepped out of the box a little bit and stepped out of the safety of the home a little bit. And it was just from the trip across the country, I saw the damage that's being done to this place, and I thought, well, you know, enough is enough. I've got to stand up and do something now. People seem to like listening to my voice, so maybe if I go and do public speaking and go and do events around the country, maybe I'll reach a lot more people than I'm reaching with the radio show, and maybe we can stop this.
Yeah, you know, I agree, Max, and I think it's a perfect opportunity. There are so many issues, you know, from the water table, you know, and the fracking to the chemtrails and the air we breathe and the soil and, you know, I mean, it goes right on down the line. Everything that we depend on for life, it seems like, is being attacked on some level. And obviously one person can't do all that, you know, can't change all that kind of stuff. So I think that's where it's important for all of us to start working together, you know, because everybody's got their little things, their little areas, but all these things need to be brought to the forefront. And they need to be stopped. You know, they're all toxic to human health and to life on this planet, and they do nothing but, you know, generate income for corporations, and it's got to stop at the expense of life on this planet. So,
yeah, well, we absolutely do have to address it, and there are so many issues. It's incredible how many issues we face. Chemtrails is a very, very hard thing to wake people up to because
it is.
It's such a controversial thing, and so many people say, well, why would they spray in the air? Because they're spraying themselves. And that's true. They are spraying themselves. But you've got to ask, well, they are, because you can look up in the sky and you can see these huge lines across the sky. Even if it is just jet fuel, which it isn't, but even if it is, then this is obviously incredibly exorbitant amounts of it, and it's too much of the stuff. Why would they be doing that? So you've got to start looking at what's in the chemtrails. And it's when you really start looking at what's in the chemtrails at a molecular level and get right down with a microscope and start looking at what's coming down in the air and what's actually in the air around you, you start finding what the reason for this may be. And it's not a particularly good one, of course, but it's a very, very difficult thing to wake people up to, chemtrails.
Because there's a lot to it. It not only does it affect our air, but it affects it gets in our drinking water, it affects our water, and it affects our soil.
Well, it affects everything. It affects all life on the planet.
All those particles fall down.
All the plants, all the
all
the animals, it affects absolutely everything. And it's an extremely delicate issue.
But it is.
You've got to, when you're getting this information out to people, I believe it's best to just be very logical, very matter of fact, just very calm. You can't be freaked out and start screaming about, you know, New World Order and global prisons and all this sort of stuff.
Exactly.
People just go, oh my God, I don't want to be like them. I'm better off watching TV. I don't want to hear what they've got to say, even if it's true. They're so freaked out. I don't want to be like that. So you've got to lead by example.
You're exactly right.
You've got to lead by example. People need to see that you're a very empowered person and that your life is improved because you have this information, that you're actually taking positive steps to deal with reality around you, that you know how to conduct yourself in a respectable manner and a logical manner if you're ever involved in a legal situation. Like everything I just said before, you know, well, show me the jurisdiction. Just speak English. No, when people see that you are empowered and that you're great to be around, you're a fun person and everything's good in your life because you have this information, it inspires them to find out things about it too, to find out, you know, what, to know what you know. You know what I mean? So, you've absolutely lead by example. Be the change you want to see in the world. And I want to see a change where people are empowered and people are speaking out about this. And so that's why I'm going to go and start speaking out about it. And I'm going to walk my talk and be empowered. And if anybody tries to stop me or doesn't like what I'm saying, well, that's fine. I can deal with it in a legal manner within their system, or in a lawful manner within their so-called legal system. And that's, you know, I need to demonstrate this to people. And as I said, everything that I've outlined for you about trust law, it's all just basic logic. I mean, you know this stuff in your heart anyway. And as the Buddha says, The only limitation is the mind that believes in the limitation. That's the only limitation that exists. So if you don't believe there is a limitation on your freedom, then there isn't a limitation on your freedom.
Well, if people are interested in learning more about trust law, on your website, there is a link. I know because I watched a couple of videos there. So on the website, the Crow House. .com. You can go there and you can learn more about trust law. And actually, there's a lot of information on Max's site. So be sure and check that out.
Yeah, well, there is a whole section on trust law. And any radio shows that I do that I talk about trust law, and I'm going to start posting there as well, because as I said, a lot of it's in your heart. Dean does the workshops, Dean Clifford, and I've got all them posted there, which kind of explains to you how the birth certificate works. And it outlines a little bit of court activity. But if you listen to some of the interviews and some of the shows that I've done recently, you'll begin to get a real understanding of this is really all in your heart. And there's a new film put out by a friend of mine, Ben Stewart, as well, who made Climatica, and that's called Ungrip, and that's about a guy called Robert Page in Canada who's doing basically the same thing. And it isn't like they don't refer to it as trust law. or anything. It's just knowing that you're free, because that's really all it is. That's all equity is knowing that you own all the equity in yourself. You own yourself. Nobody else has any claim to the man, the woman, the sentient life form that is you. No one else does. And all this name that they give you is a presumption of law. It's a legal trust or a corporation or whatever you want to call it. It's just a mechanism that you can use to operate within their world. But their world has no claim over you, the sentient being. That's all it really is. And it's just knowing how to stand in that. And that's what he goes through in the film Ungrip. And it's great to see that he put it out there. But that's really all trust law is about. It's about your preeminent trust with whatever it is you perceive your creator to be, and standing in that. And realizing, as I said, what they base their legal system on, which is basically those two commandments that I outlined for you before from Matthew 22, so they don't have a leg to stand on, and that's basically it.
Max, I have a little personal question I would like to ask you. As active as you are in sharing your thoughts on what you think is going on in the world and your viewpoints on it, do you find it difficult to make that time for self at all in your journey?
Well, I live in a little cabin by myself, and my journey is this, a lot of it. I mean, my meaning in life at the moment is to get this message out to people, because people need this message. That's why I'm here, to deliver it. And that's basically what I do at the moment. And I'm very, very happy in doing this, and feel very comfortable and very fulfilled in doing this. And I thrive on the positive emails and positive responses I get from people. It's like food for me. And it's great to see the amount of people that are waking up to the power that they have. And that's really all I need at the moment, because I believe the world really, really needs to hear this message. And so, yeah, I'm quite comfortable. And that's myself at the moment.
You definitely sound like a man from the heart, Max. We are going to take a little station ID here at the top of the hour. And after that, we'll finish up and bring in some calls, if you don't mind, Max.
Well, while we're waiting for callers, Max, what kind of advice do you have to people about what they can be doing right now to make a real difference?
Well, I really believe that the big thing that keeps all this perpetuated is our separation within our society. I think that spreading information to people is a good thing, but you've got to do it in the right way. And you need to connect with your neighbors. You absolutely need to start helping people around you and leading by example. It's so important, because everything within our society is designed to create division. So obviously the answer is unity. You've got to stop being divided from the people around you. Stop holding grudges with people. One of the hardest things people will ever do in their lives is to forgive those that they believe have wronged them. And that, you need to do this. Everybody needs to do this. It doesn't matter what anybody did, because they only did what this system trained them to do based on what their perception of reality was, which, again, was given to them by this system. This system only perpetuates because of this fear and division we have with each other. So it's just this incredibly compounding problem. This goes through this never-ending loop, because we won't just put everything away and put everything aside and move forward from this point. And that's what we have to do. We have to put all this fear aside, put all of these ill feelings we have aside, and move forward together as one mass. That's what I believe. We're only going to do it when we break down the fear we have of our neighbors, our fear of the people around us, our fear of not living up to what our peers believe we should be doing, or not achieving some rung on the social ladder. We've got to get rid of all this stuff and wake up to who and what we are.
Right, I agree. And it looks like we have a caller, Max, area code 519. Hello, hi, you're live on the air.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. I just wondered, and this is awesome. I've so enjoyed listening to you guys tonight. Hi, Max.
Pleased to meet you, Tracy.
Pleasure. I live in southern Ontario. We're a very lovely, mild climate, and I did a seminar earlier today with some of my cousins up in Iqaluit, which is very, very north Canada, semi-sovereign, if that's a word, in the northeast part of Canada. It's mostly an island, but somewhat attached to Quebec and Nova Scotia area. The kids are so sick up there right now, and you would think with the cold climate that that would just kill any bacteria coming in, or that's perhaps just a myth we have up here. But the teachers all in the northern areas have to wear microphones to speak to the children because most of the children have ear infections and ear damage, inner ear damage, so they crash around and they can't hear, and it's mostly because of the mercury in the fish. In the last 5 years, this has come to such a point that they have to do this. They have to wear microphones in the room to talk to the kids because the kids are so sick. You've talked about fracking tonight, and I'm wondering if the environmental issues are now beyond control. If it's that far up north, and we're getting stuff up here that I've never even heard of in even alternative media, they're getting stuff like yellow rain that falls onto the snow. There's no permafrost anymore. So what they have is a land of mud, and they joke that the national bird is the mosquito.
Yeah, look, it's really shocking what's being done, and it is almost beyond repair. That's a bit, but see, I've been going for the fracking because this is our water. Without fresh water, it's all over. It's absolutely all over without fresh water. And I'm really hoping that, I mean, yeah, so you can tell people about this and they go, oh, that's in Alaska or that's in Canada. It doesn't affect me here in Australia. It doesn't affect me here in China. It doesn't affect me.
Where do you think you get your water from?
Well, that's the thing. Water, it affects everybody. Water is something that can be used to unite all of humanity to a common cause. And once people understand it, look, if they're going to do this to our water, maybe I should look around and see what else they've been doing while I haven't been looking. Because all of these things, everything that you've expressed there, this all comes back to the same problem, the fact that our governments are in breach of trust. Our governments have been taken over by corporations, and they're stealing from us, and they're turning the earth into a wasteland in order to support an economic system. They're doing so because we don't know we're free. We don't believe we are free. We don't know the difference between what is lawful and what is legal. You know, that's the problem. That's why I've been going so much to try to help people understand what is lawful and what is legal and who and what they are, because I believe that's the only hope that humanity has. And that's why I've been doing what I do.
I so agree, Max.
I told my friends that I was going to listen to you tonight, and you have fans up there, Max. You really do.
Oh, that's really nice to know. It's such an honor that people listen to the show. It really is. I just hope the words
all over the world, babe. You got all the corners. If we can still call ourselves that, but you got all the corners on.
Very nice.
They just said they're so happy that when people realize that there's some people they don't like, that means every people.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, you know, everyone's coming out and saying, you know, I think the government may not like us. And I have to admit, most of my family are laughing, saying, oh my God, it's like all of a sudden white people woke up and it's too freaking late for them.
It's lovely, but
they're acting like it's a new thing.
Well, it's like it's 1 minute to midnight, but the clock hasn't struck yet. The fat lady hasn't sung yet. We can still turn things around.
Still looking at that. We still got some time because the fact is we still, even up there where you think you would hear nothing but bitterness, they have reasons to hate everybody. They really do. But they don't. And they're still looking at this as a good sign and say, hey, it's a good
thing. Yeah, well, it is. It's an opportunity for us all, but we have to act. We absolutely have to seize the opportunity. It's up to us to act on the opportunity. See, it should bring concern, absolutely should bring concern to people, but not fear to people. Because when people go into fear, they cower and they hide. But when people become concerned, it breeds positive action. And that's what people need to be doing. They need to be engaging in positive action. They need to be spreading the word to their community. They need to be leading by example, by being a pleasure to be with and being a pillar of their community. That's how we turn it around.
The other weird thing, and I wanted to mention, because it was mentioned to me, to bring out the fact, we're having less boys born.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Normally, there's more boys than girls born, because boys are rough. People know boys. Know how they are. Guys die at 20, mostly because they're reckless and wild, and boys are boys. But now there are less boys born than girls, almost 3-1 now up there, since 1993. So this is recent. This is major. And if it hasn't spread all over the world, it's about to. And they're thinking it's, these are people who live relatively in the country, even the ones who live on the southern coast up there. But what they've had to deal with is the pesticide sprayed on the plants. It's already too late to stop this, but in two generations we could probably fix it. But this is another thing I'd like you to comment on and bring up, because I think this is happening all over the world. Even here, and I'm in southern Ontario, in Sarnia, they're coming up about that. And that's pretty much middle Ontario. That
yeah.
Right now we're down to 1/3 of the boys being born already.
Yeah, so this is all part of the eugenics plan. It's all ties in with chemtrails as well, and you're absolutely right with insecticide spraying and the genetic food. And see, what's happening is the human race is actually being modified right under their noses, and no one's noticing. It's being done without their consent. It's being done without their knowledge. And they're just not noticing because it's being done gradually. And this is another reason why we need to turn things around, and why I've changed my stance, and I've been speaking out so much lately and speaking publicly so much lately, because people have to wake up to what's going on. It's very difficult to alert people to this fact, because just a cognitive dissonance. You try to tell them that the human race has been genetically modified, and they look at you like you've got two heads. So this is why I've been concentrating again on the fracking. I think, okay, well, once I can alert them to this, then I can say, okay, now I've got your attention. Let's look at some other things, and here's the evidence. You know, the evidence doesn't lie. You've got to just sit back, cancel what any your views are, what any preconceived ideas you have, and you've got to allow the evidence to speak to you. And that's the way I've been trying to present it to people, and I've been having a reasonable amount of success in doing so.
I'm wondering if you have a lot of extra bugs lately. I know it sounds like a side topic, but do you guys get a lot of mosquitoes down there? Do you have more?
Been a lot more mosquitoes.
More mosquitoes?
Yeah, more mosquitoes, absolutely more mosquitoes. Less bees, but more mosquitoes.
I've noticed the same thing where I live in Oregon. There's a lot more mosquitoes, and there are different types of mosquitoes, but a lot less bees in
that
area.
Yes, you have.
Yes.
Well, the bees are all disappearing because of all the GM crops and probably the chemtrails as well. Yeah, but the GM crops and the monocropping, just monocropping in itself is enough to do an incredible amount of damage to a bee colony. And bees need pollen from a big variety of plants, not just, you know, 150 acres of daisies or something, you know what I mean?
We're going to do a station ID here. Tracy, thank you for calling in from Canada.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Max, can we talk a little bit about transformation? I saw the trailer on your site, and I know that's coming out soon. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that while we're waiting for a call?
Ooh. Yeah, okay. actually, I haven't had a chance to work on it much lately because I've been so incredibly busy. I've done trips across the country and I've been doing workshops and it's been...
You have been busy.
It's very full on. What the film is about, I'm basically trying to show people how they've been put into the trance that they're in. The first part of the film is called Transformation. Transformation, because it's two words.
Right.
It's about how the trance has been formulated. And so the first part of the film kind of goes through, you know, just asking people to question their reality a little bit and showing them how they're basically trained through the education system. The second part of the film is called Transhuman, and it kind of demonstrates where they're attempting to take humanity. The third part of the film is called Transformation, one word, and this shows how they intend to do this. And then the fourth part of the film that I'm working on now is called Transfiguration, which demonstrates methods that we could use to basically escape the Matrix and turn things around and put humanity back in the right direction it should be going in. Well, what I believe the right direction should be anyway. And that's what the film is basically about. But it's taken me an awfully long time to complete because I've just got so many projects on. I'm just not finding the time that I need to dedicate to it at the moment. Plus I've got a few computer problems. I need to build a more powerful computer because I've got so much editing in the film now and so much information in the film that it's putting a big strain on my system. So I've got to try to raise the capital to build myself a computer with a bit more grunt before I'm going to be able to finish it anyway.
Well, yeah. We will try to wait patiently for that one.
We'll try real hard, Max.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of emails, people saying, when's the film ready? When's the film ready?
And I bet.
I just put that kind of a teaser trailer up there. That was actually going to be an intro to the film, but it was so dramatic. And I just thought, well, there's no way I'm going to be able to top that with a film after that sort of an intro. I mean, it's like
nice.
People are going to expect something like Star Wars. So I thought I'd be best off just using that as a trailer. That was actually made for me by a friend of mine you can find on YouTube who goes by the name of Sentient Mind. He does fabulous work, and he made that up for me.
Well, speaking of all of your running around, what are your plans here for the near future for as far as traveling and your events that you're going to?
Well, I'm just getting together a screen and a little projector and putting together a bit of a slideshow so I can go and do some talks and at least have something to be able to show people while I'm talking to demonstrate what I'm talking about. And I intend to go out and do as many talks as I can around the area. But by the same token, I still wish to find the time to dedicate to the new film. Perhaps I might, I've got a lot of interviews this week, but perhaps I might just narrow all the interviews down for a while and just do my show once a week and maybe spend the next month or two concentrating on finishing the film and try to get that out before Christmas or at least around the new year, and then perhaps start doing the workshops from there in the new year or something like that might be the best approach. Otherwise, I'm never going to get anything done. I'll be going around doing these half-cocked workshops while I'm thinking about what I need to be doing for the film, you know. I've got to try to juggle my mind. I need a couple of extra brains and a couple of extra bodies to get things done. It'd be good.
Okay, Carl, are you with us? This is Rebel.
Yeah, this is you guys. How's it going?
Okay, we're great. Thanks for the ad, and you are live now with Kat, Joy, and their super guest, Max Egan.
Right on. How's everyone doing tonight?
Just fine, and you, Carl?
Pretty good, and I'm really happy to be listening to this. This, I think, is the reason why I kind of tune in every day to this radio station. I think this is the kind of discussion that needs to be happening more often.
Definitely.
Did you have a question for our guest, Max Egan?
Yeah, I definitely have a question for him, and I'm just going to give him a bit of my background so that he can kind of, I guess, answer it in a way tailored to what I'm trying to get at. I have a background in agricultural and bioresource engineering, as well as social behavior modeling. And, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, so my question is, I mean, I think there's kind of a disconnect in terms of the powers that be that kind of run the show wanting to depopulate, because, I mean, if they control Hollywood, could they not make it glamorous for the idea of a self-sustainable community, small self-sustainable community living in harmony, not wrecking the environment? Could they not popularize that instead of mass consumption?
Well, they could popularize that, but I mean, if you look at things energetically, it's not about that type of energy. That's not the energy that they want.
Yeah, they want control and power. They want to be able to basically continue breeding humans as slaves. That's just my own personal opinion.
Well, yeah, a lot of it, and it's all about fear energy as well. I mean, it's the fear energy that controls everything. You've got to put people in a state of artificial scarcity in order to control. People become competitive when they're in that situation. They tend to climb over each other, and they tend to become sociopaths and ignore what's going on around them.
I fully agree with you. I think humans are another animal, and I think to control any herd of animals, you need to install fear in them.
Well, absolutely. It's manufactured scarcity. You see, you know, if people within the system look down on those that are less fortunate than themselves, and they never reach out a helping hand to them, and these people are able to be discarded, and eventually you can discard everybody all the way up the food chain, and those at the higher rungs on the ladder never reach out a helping hand to those below them, because they're always trained to believe it can't happen to them. And, you know, there's a sucker born every minute, and these people are just idiots because they haven't got it together as much as you, that they couldn't collect as much stuff as you, so therefore that's their fault that their lives are destroyed. But eventually it moves up the food chain, and everybody, it comes for everybody. There's no rung in the social ladder that you can be on by which you can escape from this system. Eventually it's coming for you no matter where you are in the food chain. But, you know, we're just trained to be sociopaths, so we don't ever deal with it. We're trained to remove empathy from the equation, always to remove empathy. It's all about number one. Look after number one and you'll be okay. We're trained to be this way.
Well, that's been going on for multi generations, don't you agree? I mean, that's not anything new.
Oh, no. But that's the structure of our whole society. That's the structure of civilization itself. So, again, you've got to think, well, why would we come up with this? How did we come up with something as uncivilized as civilization? Is this a natural progression? This is something that I talk about in the film, actually.
So I guess the discussion is leading me to how do we fix that? Fear is their tool. How do we get people to quit being afraid, I guess, of those who rule them, I guess, of our governments? How can we get them to forget being afraid?
Well, the way to forget being afraid is to understand what reality is and to connect with the people around you, because ultimately we're afraid of each other, and we're afraid of each other because we're afraid of ourselves. We're afraid of that which exists within ourselves that we don't like to face about ourselves, and so we keep it very, very locked up. And when we see that in other people, we attack them, we project it onto them, and we judge them for it, and we attack them for it, and we deal with them because we don't want to deal with it within ourselves. And we're trained to be this way. So the way to fix everything is to understand that everybody's perspective is valid. You know, we literally come from the same consciousness. We come from the same energy field. Your body is simply a biological computer that downloads a different frequency to the one that I download. But ultimately, my body is just a biological computer that downloads a different frequency from exactly the same source that yours comes from. But because mine's a different computer to yours, tuned to a different frequency, it has a completely different perspective of reality, and that's the way it will always be. But I can't see my perspective as being valid if I can't also see your perspective as being valid, because you're exactly the same as me. Ultimately, we are exactly the same thing. We are simply a biological computer experiencing one perspective of reality. So once people can understand this and understand how it works and understand that there's nothing to fear in death, I mean, death is the only part of life that's inevitable. Why would you want to go through the entire experience of life fearing the only part of it which is inevitable? It doesn't make any sense at all. We're taught to fear death. We've got to understand that you come into life with your perspective, and all you take from the world is your perspective. All the rest of it goes back in the box. So when you begin to understand this, what's to fear? What's to fear? Why would I see anybody as a threat against me? Because nothing can interfere with the perspective that is Max. That's it, you know. And what we've got here is a people who have put this system in place, which is a legal system, which is designed to counterfeit actual law and impose in its place the will of individuals. And we believe we have to follow this system because we're kept in fear of each other. So it all comes down to fear. It all comes down to breaking down that fear of each other. Because if we can look at reality the way I just explained and see everybody else's view as valid, then why would we be in fear of our neighbors? And once we've got this fear broken down between us, then then we can literally all stand up together and say, hey, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to obey legislation. We're going to obey actual law. And it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. We're not going to do it anymore because there's, you know, 7 billion of us. And, you know, you've been very naughty people. You've got to come and do it our way now because we're not going to do it your way anymore. You know, it's our fear of ourselves and our fear of each other that prevents us from doing this. So, you know, ultimately it all comes down to doing the inner work. It really does. And that's a strange thing to say, I suppose. But once you can break down that fear that you have in yourself that keeps you divided from other people, you can stand up and do like exactly what I'm doing. Just stand up and speak your truth. Stand up and live your life to improve reality by your presence in it without any fear of what comes after. I'm not scared of death. I'll speak my truth. I'm not scared of what you may do to me. And if there's 7 billion other people like me doing the same thing, then what can be done about it? There's nothing they can do. That's what I believe the solution is ultimately.
Right on. I agree with you. I think the fear of death, along with the fear of not having something to eat and not having a roof over your head and not having electricity and heating, that's kind of how they keep a control on things. And I think you're right. I think we got to bring them to justice. I think that they have been very naughty, and they're not going by the law. They don't love their neighbors as themselves. They kill. I mean, by going to war, they lie continuously. I mean, they're disobeying all the Ten Commandments on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, ultimately, it's not even about bringing them to justice. It's about bringing them home. I don't wish to hurt them. I just think they've been very naughty, and we're not going to do it that way anymore. But I don't hate them for what they've done. They've done what they've done because they're disconnected from reality. They're feeding on energy, and the only energy they know how to feed on is that which they can steal from others. I forgive them for that. I don't care what they've done. What I care about...
Your heart's bigger than mine.
What we need to do is move forward from this point, because ultimately they are me. They come from that same consciousness. They're just downloading a different frequency. It's the same consciousness. It comes from the same place. Ultimately, they are exactly the same as me. They are simply a biological computer downloading a frequency. That's all they are. So I forgive them, because the evil, the hatred, the stuff that's going on in the world, the schism, whatever you want to call it, this is coming from the same consciousness that is me. It's the collective consciousness of the human experience that is creating this, because we're all together. We are all in this as one. And that doesn't exclude anybody, nobody at all. So I forgive them. I absolutely forgive them, because if they're in that energy and they're harvesting that energy and the world doesn't give it to them, the only choice they have from that point is to wither and die on their own or to evolve into the same compassionate consciousness that everybody else belongs to. And that's ultimately what we need them to do. So I forgive them all.
Okay, Carl, thank you for calling. We are just about at the end of the show. We have time for one more quick call. We have another caller, Ghost. Are you there?
Hello. Hi. Well, Ghost, Hacker, Chris, whatever you want. Anyways, hi, Max. Great to talk to you. Basically, one question with the Occupy movements. Basically, I've heard the arguments that these people really don't have a direction or a set of demands aside from, like, whatever Anonymous said. Do you think that they should start taking a direction instead of just being there?
Well, look, I think they need to understand what they are standing up against and what the solutions are. They don't necessarily need to take a direction. They need to keep a mindful eye on the solutions and make sure they're always focused on the solutions. And the solution, I believe, is to understand that the governments are in breach of trust, that all of the problems that we have come down to this one problem. The one problem that our governments are basically stealing from us, and they're doing that because, again, we're not facing this fear within ourselves that keeps us divided from each other. So ultimately, it all comes down to that. You've got to realize that there is some... We don't need leaders in this movement. We need self-governance. We need people to know who and what they are and keep a clear focus on what the control mechanism is, how it's being implemented, and what the solution to dismantling it is. The control mechanism is the money system. It's being implemented by public trustees who are in breach of trust, and the solution is to put our governments back in their correct position in the social hierarchy. And the only way we're going to do it, again, is by breaking down this fear that keeps us divided, because we need a massive amount of community to be able to do this and be able to pull this off. That's what I think they need to keep a focus on, personally.
Right, and just with more knowledge, you become less fearful of the powers that be. then you take it out of their control, end up putting it back into your hands.
Well, absolutely. That's why I talk about trust law so much and knowing who and what you are. Knowledge is a good thing. But, I mean, people want to see how the control mechanism works. They want to know about the three city states. They want to know who to point the finger at. Well, ultimately, you know, you can look at the mechanism and it's all there, but if you really want to point the finger at it, you need to look in the mirror and point it at yourself, because it's all of us. It's all of us have allowed this to happen because of this inner fear that we have in ourselves. We need to stand in that and stand in who and what we are. Sure, keep knowledge and collect knowledge, but don't do it because you want to point the finger towards someone to blame. Doesn't matter what they've done. It matters what we do from this point forward. That's the important thing. And whoever's done anything wrong, they did so because they were disconnected from reality. And you can't blame them, because the system is designed to do that. The system is designed to create sociopaths, and it's been very, very efficient at it. So you cannot blame these people, and you cannot want to simply point the finger, because that's what a lot of people are doing. Who do I blame? It's the banking system. Okay, Goldman Sachs, I'll point the finger at them. Or it's the Rothschilds, or it's the Vatican, or it's this or it's that. Well, no, these are the mechanisms. These are the control mechanisms that are in place. The people that work within these mechanisms work the way they've been trained to work, and all we have to do is stop complying with it. Non-compliance. And the best form of non-compliance is the removal of fear from your life, and to treat everybody as yourself. In Lakesh. That's how we change it. I firmly believe this.
Excellent. Oh, great talking to you, Max. Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Chris.
Any last thoughts, Joy?
Well, questions? I really want to thank you, Max, for coming on the show. It has been a pleasure. I have been listening to you for a while, and it was just awesome to get to talk to you. Thank you for joining our show.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for asking me on, and thanks for doing the show. I mean, it's really good to see people doing shows like this and just getting the word out to their friends and their word out to as many people as they can. You know, we need more action. We need more public awareness, and every little bit helps. So thank you for being part of the solution.
I agree, and thank you, Max. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Kat.
Oh, thank you very much, and I do believe that as a collectiveness, Max, that we can accomplish a lot here, and I want to thank you for coming aboard tonight, and it's been a great show and great talking with you as well.
My pleasure.
You are listening to Revolution Radio, and you can find them on www.freedomslips.com, and you can also join us at thecontrail.com. And Kevin, I do believe it's all yours, and good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, ladies. Great show. Max, thank you very much for giving us your time, and we'll chat to you all soon, hopefully.